You ready for the Word of God? Now open your Bibles to Philippians chapter 4, verse 4. It's an easy verse to remember. And it says, read it together. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice. We're going through this series called Reroute Your Life. This is a series about how God wants to take a person who's kind of lost in life and put him on a path to a true life, to true purpose, and to eternity. Have you ever been lost in driving your car somewhere and you desperately needed somebody to reroute you? Thank God we have GPS in our cars, on our iPhones, and our smartphones, right? Because if we get lost, we can just press a button again, reroute, and it'll take us again to the shortest, fastest way to the road to our destination. God wants to do that. Satan wants you to be lost. The devil wants you to be lost. He wants you to be confused. He wants you to be confused in your mind. He wants you to be confused with your purpose. God has a clear path for you. In Jeremiah 29:11, God says, I know the plans that I have for you. Plans to prosper you and to give you a great future. God has a future for us. Amen? Amen. And so we want to study of what God's future entangles for us. Today we're going to talk about how to be happy. And I want to give you three laws of happiness. Simple message, three laws of happiness. But before I do that, let's talk about this word, rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord. Say Lord. Say it again. Lord. Say it again. Lord. Rejoice in the Lord. What does rejoice mean? I went to Webster Dictionary and it says to feel great happiness, great delight. It's opposite of misery. How many of you like being miserable? No. We all like to be joyful. Now, one thing I want to give you straight up. If you put your joy, if you rejoice in only the good things that happen in your life, you will be miserable half of the time at least. But Bible says, rejoice in the Lord. Paul, when he was writing this scripture, was in prison, sentenced to be beheaded. And he's writing to Philippians who are going through great persecution, who are going through trials. They're being persecuted, being thrown in prisons, and some of them are being put in the arena to fight as gladiators, to be eaten by lions, to be gored by the bulls. That's what happened. Now we have football, NFL, but no, just kidding. Now we have UFC, you know, and nobody gets killed so much. But then the way to get entertainment for men was to arenas. A huge arena, and who do you put there? Who would volunteer to be put to death? Nobody would. So they would put Christians and let them be slaughtered, let them be killed like animals, worse than animals. And Paul is writing to these believers, and he says, rejoice in the Lord. What is rejoice then? Rejoice is feeling of great happiness, joy, and delight. Have you ever had your team, football team, basketball team, bowling team, I don't know, golf team, win unexpectedly, come from the back, they were losing the whole game and there was no hope, and finally, two years ago, Tebow was doing that. I like Tebow, don't hate me for it, okay? But he pulled some amazing victories. Last year, for the first time, I started watching at the end of the season, NBA Finals. So I started watching it, and there was a game between Miami Heat, game number 6. How many of you know what I'm talking about? And Spurs? Okay, some of you. My wife is like, okay, you do? Oh, thank you. There was this huge thing that this was the last game, game number 6. If Spurs were going to win this game, they had a championship. They were bringing already the tape to block off people because, I mean, they were going to win. The Spurs were ahead. They were doing great. They were beating Miami Heat. And in 15 seconds, everything changed. And the crowd was going crazy. That was the end of the game. People thought that game belonged to the Spurs, whoever they are. I don't even know who they are. Where are they from? But anyway, that was an amazing moment. I was sitting there watching. It's like, it's hopeless. It's over. It's done. And then I was on my feet. Yeah! I was rejoicing. How many of you rejoice when your team wins? Amen. Okay. Bible says this, rejoice like that in the Lord. It's a feeling of great comeback. It's a feeling of God just being greater than our circumstances. And He comes through. Some of you are here today and you say, how can I be joyful? How can I rejoice when things in my life are not going so good, Pastor? It's kind of insensitive for you to tell me to rejoice and be happy when I'm sick, when I got financial problems, and I have been fighting with my depression for a long time. How can I be joyful when my life is falling apart? How can I be joyful when I had dreams when I was young? And now it feels like it's too late. I'm done. I have a criminal record, maybe. I had dreams before that. And now it seems like I will never reach Him. How can you tell me to rejoice? What should I rejoice about? And the Bible says, again, rejoice in the Lord. That's our topic, just that. Rejoice in the Lord. And I'm going to talk about what it means to rejoice in the Lord. I'm not trying to be insensitive. I'm trying to find a secret to what Paul had to rejoice in prison. How do you rejoice knowing that you're on death row? You're not getting out anymore. How do you rejoice in that? When they're treating you like an animal. How do you rejoice when you don't have any privacy? You're always shackled to a soldier. You know how? Did you know that Paul was shackled to a Roman soldier? He could not leave him because he was a dangerous so-called criminal, because he was a Christian. And they called Christians then atheists. Did you know that? That's weird. Because they didn't believe in the gods of the Roman Empire. But anyway, he's chained to a man all the time. He has no privacy. How can you rejoice in that? Well, what we find out in history is that all those guys who were chained to Paul were converted and became Christian. Most of them. The whole legions were converted. Did you know that whole legion was slaughtered? If you read history, Roman history and Christian history, a whole legion, 6,000 Christian soldiers who were great fighters for Rome, but they would not worship Jupiter and would not worship and would not bring fire to false god. They were slaughtered one by one. It's like, what are you doing? These are great soldiers who are really willing to fight for you. How can you rejoice? Because those soldiers who are with Paul, who are tied to him, bound to him, hear about the gospel. And those soldiers go and evangelize their legion, their armies. And those armies receive Christ. Those soldiers and armies receive Christ and more people. So Paul looks not at what's bad that's happening in his life. He's looking at eternity. What's going to matter in eternity? Recently, I've made a decision in my life. I live by this quote. It's recent, so I'm still going to be tested, obviously, on it. You know, nothing is rooted in your life until it's tested. You can make philosophies, but unless it's tested, that's when you know it's real. But this is the kind of new quote that I made for myself. And it says something like this. If I won't care about it tomorrow, I won't worry about it today. Yesterday, our ladies had an awesome time in church. They had Zumba class. All right? Yeah, come on. But you guys don't know what we went through before that Zumba class. We had a whole bunch of religious people from our community, those who know us, text us, write us, saying, what are you doing? You're bringing dancing to church. And I'm like, we've been accused of dancing in church since we started this church. What's new? Besides, this is not dancing. That's all I'm going to dance. If you see something else, something's wrong with me. But we've been accused of that. And so one day I come home this week and Tanya is in tears. She's like, I don't know, maybe we should cancel it. Everybody's calling me and saying, stop this craziness in church. What are you doing? It's Zumba. Do you know what that is?
Yeah,
that's like aerobics, just the different names for it. That's what I think that it is. Music and women getting in shape. What's so bad about that? You should do that more often. Include men in that too, because, right? And so all this pressure, all these phone calls, people calling Tanya, hanging up on them. You know how some people, religious people, go, don't you dare. I'm praying against it, sister. I'm praying against the sister. Boom. Like, she's Zumba. And I said, Tanya, you know what? Don't worry about it. Go ahead. If the devil is attacking you, he doesn't like it. That's fine with us. It's not the first time somebody said something negative. It's, Jesus said this, woe to you if everybody says everything good about you. It means you're doing absolutely nothing of importance. If people are saying yes, they're always celebrating you, that means you're doing absolutely nothing of importance for. But when Satan gets rattled, when the devil gets mad a little bit, rejoice. Bible says, count it all joy if you fall into many trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces these fruits. And so yesterday they came and they had this awesome time with women exercising. It was awesome. I heard a lot from you just saying, hey, that's a great idea and things like that. Thank you for that encouragement. Thank you for writing and saying, hey, you know, thank you for doing that. It just makes us feel like, okay, we're doing something right. And it was Saturday. It's not like on Sunday we moved the chairs and everybody started doing Zumba worship. Which would be fine too, okay? As long as the Lord gets glorified and this body gets a little decreased. This way too. Hallelujah. And Tanya comes after it. She's excited. She's happy. A lot of women came. And she said, what was I worried about? Why was I so disturbed yesterday? Today, it means nothing. What they said yesterday. Have you ever been there? You were so worried. It's the end of the world. That's it. My life is over. And then tomorrow you forgot and you're like, or you remember and you're like, what was I so worried about? It was nothing to lose my joy. Satan wants to steal your joy because Bible says the joy of the Lord is your strength. It's your emotional strength. When you're negative, angry, you're weak. When you are full of joy, you're strong. And the devil is placed under your feet. Did you know that one of the fruit of the Spirit is joy? It's something that grows in your life. Allow it to grow. Apostle Paul writes, the kingdom of God is not food and drink, but righteousness, peace, and joy in the Lord, in the Holy Spirit. Are you growing in joy as a Christian? God wants the fruit to grow. Listen, when we come to Christ, that doesn't mean we always have joy right away. But guess what? It grows. And when it grows, Satan is weak before your joy. When you're joyful, he has no power over your thoughts. But when you're negative, that's his thoughts. That's all you can hear. It's him telling you how ugly you are, how bad you are, how you're worth nothing, how nobody likes you, how you know you should just end it all. That's the devil. He loves to crawl in misery. He crawls in depression, in those lows. God moves in joy. Bible says in the presence of God, there is fullness of joy. Allow yourself in church to be happy. You're in the presence of God. No matter what's happening in your life, rejoice in the Lord. We're getting there. What is it? Bible teaches us rejoice in the Lord because joy is independent of our circumstances. The joy of the Lord is independent of our circumstances. I'm 35 years old, and what I have discovered in my 35 years at looking and studying myself and life is that rich people are not happier than poor people. Famous people are not happier than infamous people. I looked at people, and you know, when I was growing up, Britney Spears was like big, right? All right. When I was in my like 20s or whatever, she was like huge. And then I looked at her, and after a while, all that fame, all that talent, all that glory, and she was miserable. She didn't know what to do with herself. And I said, huh, so fame and money don't make you happier. I would work with people. I used to run my own business, and I would sometimes pick up people from the mission, a place where people lived who had nothing. All they had was a bunk, and only for one night. Tomorrow, it's a new day. You sign up for a new bed. They had no food. The only thing that they had was backpacks. Many of them didn't have any teeth, but all of them would laugh a lot. And I was like, what's wrong with you people? Why would you laugh when you have nothing? Really, I just being honest with you, that's what I thought. And what I discovered was I had more, but I wasn't happier than them. And I said, no, it's not fair, God. They have nothing. Many of them have addictions and struggle, but they're happy. They choose to look positively at their day. And I was like, there's something wrong with that. And so what I discovered in my life, that being rich and famous does not make you happier than those who are poor and infamous. Actually, I think poor people have more hope than rich people. Let me explain why. Because when you're poor, you still have hope that when I get rich, I'll be happy. When you are rich already, you have nothing. You have no hope. Because you are rich already, and then what? So that's why people start abusing drugs to find that high. And that's not enough, because you always need more and more and more. But those things that the world offers for you to be happy destroys you. When you find your joy in the Lord, it will build you up. It will give you a high that you can never have. A few months ago, Tanya bought me a ticket to go skydiving. And I went skydiving, and I thought it's going to be such a rush, such an experience. And don't get me wrong, it was a good experience. But it's nothing compared to what I have with the Lord. Listen to me, it's nothing. If you've never tasted the Lord, to you, I'm stupid right now. I'm crazy. To you, I'm just emotional and whatever. But trust me, I've been on both sides. I've been in my life without God and without His joy. And I look for things in money and fame and other things to be happy. When I found the Lord, nothing even comes close. Nothing. But you can't have it until you allow Him to come into your heart. Some of you come to church for a long time and you still haven't known the Lord. You're still trying to understand Him with your mind. When you're going to believe, you got to believe in Him with your heart and allow Him to come and change you. And that's what He can do. That's what He's doing right now. That's what He's doing right now in your seat. The Holy Spirit is speaking to you. You know, I could be preaching about fishing. And the Holy Spirit could be speaking to you exactly what you need in your life. Allow Him. Open your heart today. He will speak to you. He will reveal Himself to you in worship. See, praise and worship, two songs before, it's not just to get you all pumped up and ready for the sermon. We're standing before a mighty, most powerful creator of the universe. He deserves our worship. Hallelujah. I'm excited. I'm so excited. I'm on high right now. Seriously, I am. I hope I can just pass it on to you and you get so excited you can't sit. You're like starting to preach back to me. Like, yes, Pastor, hallelujah. I wish you were like that. We need more black people in our church, though. Because white people can't even clap in a rhythm. We need some. Love you, white people, but we need more. Yeah. Our next pastor is going to be a black pastor, so trust me, because we want to be a church that's not just intellectually fed, but we want to be the church that our emotions, we allow God to touch our emotions. It's both. It's spirit and truth. Some churches are so biblical that they're dead. Yeah. Am I telling the truth or not? Some churches, there's no move of the Spirit. You don't see a tear. You don't see a smile. Nothing. Just, yes, brother. That's theology for you. Yes. Hallelujah. I want the truth, but I want my heart to be touched. I want God to soften up my heart, stony heart, and make it a heart of flesh. That's what I want. I want the joy of the Lord. I want tears to flow from my eyes when I worship the King of Kings. I want to seem high and lifted up and myself decreased. God is doing something in our church. I want this to be the happiest church in the city. I really do. When we come here, it doesn't matter what's happening. We're not rejoicing in our circumstances because some of them are bad. Some of you going through pain. Some of you experienced the loss of a loved one, like lady last week. But we're rejoicing not in our circumstances, but we're rejoicing in the Lord. And He's eternal and forever. Three laws of happiness. If you have your smartphone, I want you to pull it out. And the reason I ask you to do that, most of you, if you're honest, you are on Facebook 10 times more than you are in the Word of God. Okay? Can I be just honest? I know some of you are like, don't point me. What I want you to do today, if God is speaking, it gives you a little phrase. Can you write it on your Facebook? Don't say church, don't say Pastor Alex, nothing. Just write it and post it. And as people during the day, today and tomorrow, like it, you know, we like to be liked on Facebook, right? It feels good. As people begin to like it, guess what? You're going to begin to see it again. See, most people go to church, and after the church, it's all gone. They forgot about whatever pastor said. I know it was joy, but if you write a thought, your friends will remind you of what you heard today. And maybe it'll just become a part of you. Maybe. So take your phones out if you have them. If you don't, on the back of this bulletin, write it down. There's notes for sermon. Amen? So, let's go into three laws of happiness. Number one, law of happiness. You must give yourself permission to be joyful. Many people think that God is mad at me. Some of you are sitting here and the devil is condemning you and making you feel like you're worthless because of what you did yesterday or a week ago, or he can even remind you what you did 10, 20 years ago and ruin everything. But remember, when you accepted Christ, when you ask Him to forgive your sins, He does. He says, I will remember Him no more. Now, if you haven't asked Him, then ask Him. Right now, when you're sitting there, ask Him, God, forgive me. And it's done. Some people just always thinking that God is there to get them. That God is there because they've done something wrong and He wants to punish them. So point number one, give yourself permission to laugh and be joyful. Bible says, rejoice in the Lord always. Give yourself permission to do that. Why? Because God has given you permission to be happy. Some of you, two amens is not what I was hoping for this one. Because God has given you permission to be joyful. Amen. Amen. In the presence of God, there's fullness of joy. He would be a hypocrite if he experiences joy in his presence, in his throne room, and he would say, if you're happy, I'm going to punish you. You're supposed to be miserable. No, God wants you to be happy. Luke 12, 15. Then Jesus said, be aware, guard against every kind of greed. Life is not measured by how much you own. Now, the word life, does not mean your life. I explained this before. A person who's in prison, he's alive, but he's not really living. That's not a happy living. Amen? Okay? So that word life, Jesus said, I have come to give you life to the fullest. What does that mean, life? I am already alive. It means happiness. Another word, it's happiness. I have come to give you happiness, joy, to the fullest. So let's read it again. Then he said, this is Jesus, beware, guard against every kind of greed. Happiness of a man is not measured by how much you owe. God has given you permission to be happy, not based on how much you owe, not based if you're married or not, not based if you're rich or poor, famous or not, if you're a rock star or if you're not. If you're healthy or maybe you're not so healthy, God has said, you have my permission to live. Turn to your neighbor and say, just live. Just live. Smile, though, but because it might be negative. Just live. Money won't bring you this life. Fame won't bring you this life. Achieving your financial goals and building a house won't bring you this life. Jesus said, I have come to give you life to the fullest. Amen. Give yourself permission to be joyful. Sometimes even us Christians, we get so religious.
We're just like, we gotta be serious. We gotta, you know, don't touch this. Oh, unclean. I can't. Oh, I'm such a sinner. Oh, no, give yourself permission. Look at things that are humorous in your life. Get a clown nose. Put it on. Look in the mirror and just laugh at yourself. I don't know. Be okay with laughing at yourself. You're not perfect. You'll say something stupid. I'm sure I already did a few times today. But I'm not going to beat myself up. I'm just going to laugh at it. You know, I'm going to listen to this message and I'm going to the devil will try to beat me up tomorrow when I listen to it myself. But I'm not going to beat myself up. I'm just going to laugh. Oh, that's funny. Give yourself permission to be silly and goofy. It's okay. Don't be always so serious. May there be in your house a place of laughter and joy. Allow your kids to laugh. Allow yourself to laugh with your kids. Don't be that serious dad that never laughs. Give yourself permission to laugh. In church, give yourself permission to laugh. Amen. When we show a funny video and the man go, give, and the ladies go, ha, you know, guys, give yourself permission to laugh. Laughter's medicine, Bible says. It's good for you. Hopefully in church you can get 10 laughs, belly laughs. Okay, if you get only 3 at the end of the service, you're going to have to just laugh at the wall. Amen. Be a student of laughter. Learn some good jokes and tell them to people you meet. If you're awkward with people, the best way to get the awkwardness out, just say, do you want to hear a joke? Like, hey, how you doing? Good. There's nothing else to talk about? Just say, hey, you want to hear a joke? Have I told you about this lady who bought a parrot and brought him home? And he was very obnoxious and started cursing her. And she was fed up with him and put him in a freezer. An oven. In the freezer. And after a few seconds of cussing in the freezer, the parrot was silent. So she's thinking, okay, maybe he came to his senses. She pulls him out, and he starts apologizing. I'm so sorry. I will never call you bad names again. You've been so good to me. You gave me a home. And she said, wow, that's awesome. That's what a repentant heart. And she forgives him, and the parrot says, can I ask you one question? She said, sure, any question. The parrot says, what did the chickens do? Allow yourself to be happy. You're a child of God. God loves you. Your sins are forgiven. You walk in the light as He's in the light. God is not here to condemn you. Listen, John 3:17 says, for God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through Him. He's not here to condemn you. He's not here to condemn you. He's here to save you. This word, this message is here for you to be saved. Hallelujah. Number 2, second law of happiness. Don't wait for happiness to come to you. Create it. Many people think that happiness is simply a matter of luck. You're happy because you got lucky. But happiness is a choice. You can be as happy as you want to be. Happiness, however, should not be our goal. Happiness should be a result of right thinking, of right living, and right purpose. Amen. Somebody's excited in the back. Hallelujah. Thank you. Happiness should not be a goal. If you make happiness your goal, you will be selfish, and selfish people are miserable people because they don't have any friends after a while. Selfish husband, selfish wife, selfish friend. People don't want to hang out with them anymore. They don't want to be around selfish people. It's all for me. It's all about me. Jesus said it's better to give than to receive. That means people who give of themselves, people who are generous. Those are happy people. How do you create happiness? Number 1, right thinking. Philippians 4:8 says this. And now, dear brothers and sisters, one final thing. Fix your thoughts on what is true and honorable and right and pure and lovely and admirable. Notice he doesn't say fix your thoughts on hate, on negativity, on what's bad in your life, on lies that people tell about you. He says don't fix your thoughts on that. Fix your thoughts on what is true, right, pure, lovely, admirable. Think about these things that are excellent and worthy of praise. That's from prison people. Think on a good thing. Are you a person that has glass, sees glass half empty or half full? Do you always see things negatively? Our worship pastor, Andre, he's on vacation today. But he rebuked me the other time. Sometimes when I eat a great meal, I say, and Tanya asked me, how was the meal? Oh, it's all right. It's not bad. I would answer like that. And it was a great meal. If it was a bad meal, I would say it's a bad meal. But I went skydiving, and Andre was like, how was it, man? Was it great? Oh, it's all right. I said, it's good. And he rebuked me. He's like, man, Alex, you're always seeing it half full. Stop that. It was a great experience. Say it. Who's the pastor here? Who has more years of experience? I mean, he really rebuked me. He's like, why are you always seeing everything negatively? It was a great meal. It was a great dive. Yes, maybe it doesn't measure to the Lord and the joy of the Lord, but you're not supposed to measure it. It was a great thing. Just say it. And I was like, whoa. How can you fight that, you know? I could have gone into weeping of Jeremiah and started from there, but hallelujah. So how do you think about yourself? Jesus said, love your neighbor as yourself. Do you love yourself? Do you like yourself? Do you like your body? Do you like your hair? Do you like your eyes? Do you like your weight even? Do you like it? No, it's not as it could be, but God created you how he wanted you to be. See, when we don't like ourselves, when we feel fat, guess what we do? We start getting after people who are a little more fat than us. When we're negative, we start seeing negative. When we're proud, we start seeing proud people. Oh, he's so proud. What about you? You see? So Bible says love your neighbor as yourself. Is it okay to love yourself? Now, I'm not talking about proud, egotistical love, but just like yourself. I told you this before. I used to live with this self-consciousness that my head in the back was square. And I would be so self-conscious. I would go to the hair place and I would tell him, I'm telling you all my secrets today. I told him, can you leave more hair over here so it just looks a little bumpy? And then one day I was in like JCPenney trying some out where they had mirrors all around you. And I looked at my head. I was like, it's a beautiful head. What was I worried about for years? Sometimes we just, this stupid insecurity. God created you the way he wanted you to be. Listen, ladies, when I look at you, I look at your sisters. I don't care about all that. I care about your person. I care about confident women to me. Happy, joyful women are awesome women. Because I look at your sisters. Negative, even if she's beautiful, but she's negative and too self-conscious, you're like, ugh, I want to be around you. I don't want to be around you, right? Right thinking. How do you think about yourself? That's how you will think about others. Right living. And the third one, and I'm not going to get through, but as a Christian, our happiness is in the Lord. How do I rejoice in the Lord? Number one, we rejoice in our salvation. Luke 10:20. Disciples of Jesus were sent out to heal the sick and cast out demons. They come back and they're super excited, super joyful. We healed so many people. We cast out so many demons. Jesus says to them this, nevertheless, do not rejoice in that you heal the sick and you cast out demons. See, some of us, we think healing the sick and casting out demons is the greatest miracles. Now, it is, you know, great miracles. But Jesus rebukes his disciples and says, don't rejoice what you've done. Because you didn't do it, I did it. Do not rejoice in this, that spirits are subject to you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. Hallelujah. The greatest miracle there is that my name is written in heaven. I deserve judgment. I'm not that good. My sins separate me from my God, but Jesus Christ came and united me with my God, and I have joy in the Lord, and my name is written in the book of life. Next time when things go bad, amen. Next time when things go bad, when things are just not going your way, remember, I am saved. This is temporary. Tomorrow I won't even care about this. But my name is still written in the book of life, and nothing can separate me from that. Hallelujah. David, after all the sin that he did with Bathsheba and killed her husband, lost the joy of his salvation. See, it's not that God doesn't forgive us when we sin. It's that sin takes away our confidence. It's like cutting you at your feet, you know? That's what sin does, and we lose our confidence. That's why people who maybe did something last night, partied too much last night, and maybe wasn't really a Christian, come in, and they feel so like everybody knows. And if they allow, the Satan will use my message to tell them that I saw him at the bar. I was spying on them. Or Deacon Earl was spying on them. And we know what they did. And now I'm preaching directly to you. Come on. Ain't nobody got time for that. Nope, we're not doing that. It's your confidence. Not that the Lord doesn't forgive you. It's your confidence. Bible says don't lose your confidence. How do you lose your confidence? Sin cuts out our confidence, okay? But God builds it back up, amen. And so David lost his confidence, and he had no joy. The wine wouldn't do it. The dances and the parties wouldn't do it. And so he cries out to the Lord, restore to me the joy of my salvation. He had it. He lost it. He says, give it back, Lord. Give it back. I can't live without it. Some of you know when you received the Lord how happy you were, but today you're miserable again. You need to cry out and say, God, restore to me the joy of my salvation.
Thank you for listening to this sermon. I believe that the words of Jesus spoke directly to your heart, and now you have an opportunity to respond. You can do that by praying a simple prayer. Jesus, save me, forgive me, and draw me closer to you. If you prayed this prayer, or if these messages had some impact in your life, would you consider sharing your testimony on our homepage? Your stories encourage others as we bring people closer to Jesus.